know, in this last year, it has been a very challenging time, amen? And very discouraging for most people, wouldn't you agree? It has definitely tested our faith as a people and as a church. I mean, would you have ever thought back in February of 2020 that the churches would close and that we would be away from church for so long? Nobody would have ever guessed. And I'm so thankful today that our church is open, amen? And that we're able to come together again and worship together. We need to gather together to praise the Lord, wouldn't you agree? To strengthen us as a congregation, to increase our faith, to help us grow, to truly be the body of Christ. Because today we are living in the most uncertain times the world has ever seen. Darkness and evil are all around us, and the love of many has grown cold. It seems like many people today, they don't care about life anymore, they don't care about freedom anymore, and prophecy is being fulfilled right in front of our very eyes. We truly are living right before Jesus comes. And the question is are we ready? Are we ready to meet our Lord and Savior? Are we ready to stand before a righteous, holy God? And are we going to be faithful until the end? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you today as your servant. And Lord, I ask that you hide me behind your cross, Lord. I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you fill your church with your Holy Spirit, that each person here will be touched by your words, dear Lord. Please anoint me, and please just send your Holy Spirit to touch us all. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus has been hard at work, wouldn't you agree? I don't know what your stories are and what lives you've all lived, but I know just looking at my own life that Jesus has been diligently at work trying to redeem me back to the Father. And I think that you could all agree that he's doing the same for each of you. He wants to restore in us his righteous, holy character. But many times, just like this last year, there's so many distractions, there's so many discouragements, and the devil has come up with 1,000 ways to get us discouraged and distracted. People don't even know that there's this great controversy going on between good and evil over their souls. And I just thank God that I'm in a church that preaches the word, that we know the struggle is going on. We know that it's real. We know there's evil. We know there's good. And we know it's the fight over our minds, over our souls. If you want to turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And the word says, "But understand this, there will be terrible times in the last days, for people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, without love, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." Do we not all see all these things happening in the world today? And unfortunately, there's a lot of that going on and even within the people in the church. And people are losing hope. Let's read Romans 13, 11. Please turn with me to Romans 13, 11. And the word says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." We are living in a time that we can no longer just be cruising along, content, and where we're at comfortable. If this pandemic hasn't done anything, I hope it's done one thing for us, to wake us up, to realize that things are not as usual. It's no longer business as usual. It's no longer life as we knew it. Because even though we're in this church today, it still doesn't seem normal, correct? There's still so much of this going on, and it has changed the way that life is going to be forever, forever. And so I just want you to be encouraged because of this, that no matter how discouraging the world looks, our country looks, people around us look, is if we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, He will give the encouragement that we need and the strength that we need to continue on. We need to wake up and realize the time that we're living in. And praise God, we don't have much time left, right? Amen. The thing is that we need to be prepared today because we're not promised tomorrow. We know Jesus is going to come soon, but we don't know exactly when. But we could walk out of the church today and get hit by a car, get shot, who knows, have a heart attack, and that'll be the last day that we have. And so we need to live each day like Jesus was going to come today, like it's our last, because it might just be. We desperately need to be on our knees every day pleading for a relationship with Christ like we have never had before. We need to ask ourselves, what am I doing for Jesus today? Am I being faithful to Him and doing His will? Or am I caught up in the world and these worldly things, and am I distracted with things that are taking my mind off of what God really has in store for me to do? Am I being all that God has called me to be? You know, as Seventh-day Adventist, He has given us the Great Commission. There is more expected out of us than the world. We are to take the final message to the world. And what's that final message? The three angels' message. Amen. That is our mission. That is what we need to be doing. And today, we are going to look at two Bible characters who were faithful to the end. Because I want you to leave this place after this message today, knowing in your heart and determining, purposing in your heart, that you are going to be faithful to Christ no matter what. That no matter what happens, whether it be health, trials, tribulation, that you are going to be faithful to Christ. So today we're going to start by looking at the story of Joseph. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 37, starting in verse 2. Genesis 37, verse 2. Here's where we find the story of Joseph. And I love the story of Joseph because he persevered through all kinds of tribulation. Amen? Yeah. I mean, here he was only 17 years old when we find him out tending the sheep, and Joseph's character was not like the characters of his brother. They, the Bible says, were evil. And can you imagine how sad that must have been for Jacob, their father? Here he had such a supernatural experience with God, right? He wrestled with the angel, and we know that was Christ. I mean, he experienced so many incredible things with the Lord. But to have so many of his children rebellious and wayward and evil, but then there was Joseph. Verse 3 says that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children and made him a coat of many colors. We know the story, his brothers were jealous of him. They threw him in a pit and they were going to kill him, but instead they decided to sell him off as a slave. And can you imagine you going from the father's house, you know, where you were greatly beloved? You were loved more than any of the other children. Highly favored. Next thing you know, you're in a pit. They want to kill you. and now you're being sent off as a slave to Egypt. You want to talk about discouraging, right? If anybody should have been discouraged, it should have been him. But the Bible tells us that he was not discouraged. He didn't turn against God. Instead, he held fast to God. He could have lost his faith, and he certainly had every reason to lose hope, being betrayed by his brothers and taken from his family, but Joseph remained faithful. He stood fast, even though everything in his life was crumbling around him. But in the midst of this chaos, God was with Joseph and prospered him in everything that he did. And in Genesis 39, 3 and 4, it says that his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put in his hand. But then came another trial, Potiphar's wife. But Joseph stood fast under that trial as well. And then when he was thrown into prison, he stood fast for God and did not lose hope. No matter what Joseph had to endure, he held on to God, and God blessed him and all that he did because he was faithful. I pray as you contemplate the story of Joseph that you'll put yourself into his place and to see where you're at in your relationship with Christ. Are you being faithful? Am I being faithful? Another one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Daniel. And as we look at Daniel's life, if you want to turn with me to chapter 1, even though Daniel was a teenager as well, when he was taken captive, here he was of the noble line. He probably had a great life. And here he was a young teenager, a young boy. He had all of his life in front of him, but he was taken captive to some pagan land far away. And not only that, he was made a eunuch. So you can imagine for all you gentlemen out there, I'm sure that was not fun. And I don't know what kind of medical procedures and practices they had back then, but I'm sure it wasn't pleasant. But did he get discouraged? No, because we find in Daniel chapter 1, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies and the wine, and he stood fast for God. And it was because of Daniel's faith and his perseverance for God that God raised him up and lifted him up in that nation, in that pagan nation, till he was right under the ruler of Nebuchadnezzar in that nation. And it was because of his faithfulness to God, even in his health, that he stood out above all the other young men that were working in the palace for the king. And then we see that God gave him interpretations and dreams, so he had this amazing supernatural experience with God. And he was able to interpret the writing on the wall in chapter 5. And in chapter 6, we see that Daniel is elevated into the next kingdom, into the Medes and Persians. And when all of the other officials, I'm sure, were killed, Daniel remained alive, and he prospered in the next kingdom. But then he was thrown into a lion's den. And, you know, the Bible never says that he ever doubted God, but what did he do? He prayed. And as we know, that the Lord shut the lion's mouth. And Daniel was faithful in all that he did. I love the chapter that says that in heaven he was called the beloved. Now, how wonderful for angels and for the Godhead to look down upon you and call you the beloved, a beloved of heaven. I pray that as God looks down upon us, that he can say the same of us. How amazing is the life of Daniel, his strength, his perseverance, his courage, his steadfast faith in God. No matter what came his way, he did not waver. I look at his life and how he thrived under persecution and death, and to me, it's truly amazing. And then I look at my own life, and I realize just how weak I am. When you look at Daniel's life, do you think, wow, I'm just so weak and frail? And I want to share with you a testimony, a story that just recently happened to me. So I know that many of you in the past few weeks have noticed me hobbling around and really having a hard time. And I had an old knee injury. It first started with that. And I found out that I had an MRI because I kept having excruciating pain. And I found out that I have a torn ACL, a torn lateral meniscus, and a torn medial meniscus. And I also, if that wasn't enough, have a broken off piece of cartilage that's floating around in my knee, which is catching on things in there and locking my knee up to where I couldn't even walk. And I had a dear friend who's actually here today, and she said to me the other day, she said, you know, Jan, I think an angel is actually holding your knee together so that you can walk. And truly, I believe that it's a miracle that God is doing that for me. But then I also had a problem with my foot, and it caused me so much pain that I was having a very hard time walking. So if it wasn't the knee, it was the foot. And I'm hobbling around, feeling completely miserable, feeling sorry for myself, feeling discouraged and depressed, and really down, just a complete pity party, okay? You know, why me, God? And, you know, I thank Pastor Chris for listening to me vent about all my little problems that were going on with me and feeling so inadequate. And I just thank God for giving me the strength to be able to be up here today. And he actually has helped my foot and my knee be a lot better, so you see me not hobbling around. And I just praise God that for in his mercy, I took my eyes off Jesus. And that's how I got discouraged. And all those issues really weighed me down. And so, but in his amazing love, he used people to pray for me, and he encouraged other people to encourage me, and it helped me to get back on track and to realize that I had taken my eyes off Christ and onto myself. And when you're looking at the problem, you're not looking to the solution, amen? And as soon as I did that, guess what? My foot started getting a lot better and my knee got better. So God does have a sense of humor as well. Turn with me now to Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. And the word says, "Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise for yet a little while. And he who is coming will come and not tarry." Also, another encouraging verse is 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And it's when I chose to get back on track and be steadfast and realize when Pastor Chris asked me to speak today that he said, you know, he was so sweet. He said, you know, I don't want to cause you any more pain. And I started thinking about it, and the Lord was really convicting my heart. And I thought, you know what? I can stand at least 30 minutes for Jesus, amen. If I can't stand 30 minutes for Jesus, I really got a problem. So I am thankful to be up here today as his servant and being able to stand for him. We must keep our eyes on the prize and run the race and press toward the goal for the prize of the upper call in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus is coming back for those who are steadfast and faithful unto the end. with faith in our hearts and with courage and determination in our minds. We must push all of the distractions of this world out of our lives. We must push Satan out of our lives. How? The Bible tells us by submitting to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee from us. Amen. God must have a people that are prepared and ready to meet him when he comes. And he is in the business. It is his whole mission is to prepare us, to make us ready. But we have to be willing. Amen? We have to be willing. One of my favorite verses is Philippians 1:6, which says, which promises us that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus promises us that he will complete the work in us before he comes. We just need to get out of his way, right? Hebrews 9:19 promises us, this hope we have is an anchor. I think actually that something happened with the verse. It might not be 9:19. I think it might be 6:19. But it says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. Jesus is our anchor, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become high priest forever. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is our high priest? Aren't you thankful that he entered behind the veil and he is making atonement for our sins? And he is fitting us to live in the presence of God Almighty. I know that I am. Hebrews 3:14 says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. So I want to give you some encouraging points today of how to be steadfast until the end. And most of you know these, but it's always good to be reminded. So number one is to keep our eyes upon Jesus. Live as if Jesus was coming today. Then we don't have to worry about what happens tomorrow because we know that we're right with Jesus today. Amen? Number two is that we need to pray fervently and earnestly, seeking the Lord for his instruction to do his will. Prayer is our hotline to heaven. And it is one of the most beautiful ways that we can connect with God. Number three is that we need to study diligently and feast upon the words of life and truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so I hope today, my brothers and sisters, that God's word is truly a light to your path and a lamp for you, because it is what will keep us on the right path. Number four is that we need to seal the word of God in our hearts. We must have the law of God written on our hearts. And yes, we know God is the one who writes that law upon our hearts and in our minds. But to memorize scripture is a wonderful way that he is able to do that in us. Amen? And number five, which is very important, don't forget this one, is to be a witness for him. If you aren't witnessing for Jesus, you're missing out on the greatest experience that you can have in your own walk with Christ. When you can talk to other people about Jesus and lead someone to Jesus, it takes your eyes off of you and puts them on Christ and the other person and the other people that you're ministering to. And Jesus has commissioned us all to share the everlasting gospel, because we have the commission in Matthew 28:19-20, which says that we are to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This is our great commission. And if we're not partaking in soul winning, then we are not obeying Jesus. And we're missing out on the privilege that Jesus has given us to be a vital part of soul winning for him. Evangelism, page 15, 16, and 17 says, we are to go forth as Christ's messengers to teach, instruct, and persuade men and women to urge upon their attention the word of life. We as Christ's disciples are to teach what Christ had taught. Now is the time for the last warning to be given. If there was ever a crisis, the time is now. All are now deciding their eternal destiny. We need to be awakened to realize how close we are to the day when our probation closes. We need to realize how soon the inhabitants of the world will be arraigned before the judgment seat of God. We need to work together with God to lead men to accept the truth, proclaiming in word and deed, the end of all things is at hand. The highest and greatest work to be carried on in the world at this time is to share the three angels' messages. God has called us to glorify him by living a life of faith in our daily lives. If we really are connected to Jesus, our lives will reflect him. Because we have become partakers of his divine nature and receive these heavenly gifts by believing in the power of God through faith in his righteousness to make us without spot or blemish before he comes. Just as Jesus was victorious, we can be assured, if we are seeking Jesus with all of our hearts, that we can be victorious too. Please turn with me to James 1:12. Which says, blessed is the man who is steadfast and endures temptation. When he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So Jesus promises to those who overcome. Do you all know what he promises? I've just wrote down some of the things. But he promises to give us the tree of life, to be able to eat from the tree of life. Also, the crown of life. And he also promises to those who overcome will be clothed in white garments and be given eternal life. We'll be clothed with his righteousness, his glory. So we need to get serious about Jesus to truly fall in love with him. And the more time we spend with him, the easier that will be. We need to let him have our hearts and be surrendered each day to him, so that he may transform us back into his image, having his character, so that we would be faithful until the end. Hebrews 10:23-25 tells us, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let us not lose faith, because we have an anchor, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who will take us through any trial and any storm as we hold fast to him. Notice the verse says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's what we're doing here, right? And so we need to hold fast. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for each other. And we need to build each other up in Christ. Because if the pandemic was anything, what is to come is going to be more, and we are going to have to be so knitted so closely together. That's why these small groups are so important, where we can knit together in smaller groups. I wish someone had a big enough house for everybody to meet in, but this is the Lord's house, right? That we get to meet together. So my friends, this life is very uncertain, as you all know. But no matter what happens today, tomorrow, or in the new future, we need not to worry or to lose hope. Let us keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, so we will be ready to meet him when he comes. Let nothing separate you from the love of Christ and the glorious eternity that he has planned for you. Let us be steadfast and faithful until the end.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must just hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold us fast. Precious in his holy sight. He will hold us fast. He'll not let our souls be lost. His promises shall last. But by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold Lord, he will hold me fast. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life. He will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight. When he comes. And Jesus will hold you fast. I just want you to hang on, brothers and sisters. The Lord is coming soon. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. And let your faith grow in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Teach us to love you even more. Continue to give us your Holy Spirit that we may become more like you and less like us. Continue to give your Holy Spirit that we may be steadfast and faithful in all that we do. May we continue the work of reaching souls for you, dear Lord. May we not get lost in the confusion of this world, but to keep our eyes focused upon you, Lord. Because it's only in you that we will have victory. And it's only in you that we will see you face to face and live. Oh God, that is the desire of our hearts, to look up, to see you in the skies of glory. And say, lo, this is our God that we have waited for. And he will save us. Lord, that is the blessed hope that we hang on to. Thank you, dear Lord, in your precious name. Amen.